couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
We got some more big slate of movies again this week. Some more stuff to talk about.
It's a busy week again.
We've got two twos. We got Smurfs 2.
Yes.
And Two Guns.
Two Guns.
Which is not a sequel. We also have Europa Report and some news. We've got listener feedback, DVD and Blu-rays. And we also have a birthday.
There's a birthday?
A couple days ago.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday, Kristen.
Me. Thank you.
She's 22.
Yes, I am. Again.
You had it last. It was a couple days ago. Did you have a good birthday, though?
I did. We went to the zoo. You know, aww, the things that you do when you're a parent.
Yeah.
You know.
What'd your daughter get you?
A card.
A cold.
Yeah. Actually, that's exactly what she got me. Yeah.
Hi, after, Mommy.
Yeah, a couple days before, I spent the entire night up with her, and she was coughing in my face. I was like, yep, yeah, right around my birthday, I should be hitting this. And,
mucus.
And I did. Yeah.
Mucus is the best gift a child can give their parents.
It's true. I blame James Bond at
that's
daycare.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's a spy plot.
You probably... Well, he is an international spy, so he probably it's picked true. Up something, you know, like super AIDS from Tibet
nice.
Or something.
I'm pretty sure MI6 does not want me to do this show.
Yeah.
That's it.
They're going to come breaking into the magical studio in the sky and come after you. But that's okay. You get to shower her with mucus when you're old and feeble, and she is either taking care of you or pawning you off on a rest home.
Nice.
That's what you have to look forward to.
If I can remember.
So, yes, happy birthday to Kristen.
Thank you.
Yeah, when you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 740-205-6456. I'm rushing here and trying to get through it all. That's 740-205-6456. You can reach us on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM, which is how we got our listener feedback this week. And you can reach us on Twitter. I'm twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm KDK Reviews.
And before we start rolling into the news stuff, let's say not
we
just
we have some
birthday,
big news.
We have big news. A big welcome to a new affiliate. That is Talk Radio AM 850 WKVL, the voice of Knoxville.
Hello, Knoxville.
Yay. Thank you so much for having us on the air. Thanks to Mike Howard. He's the morning show host and the program director and operations manager. Thank you so much for having us on the show. We are looking forward to a long and healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Mwahahaha. We've got you now.
Oh, dear.
All right. Now, let's move on.
Let's try not to scare them away this week, shall
let's,
we?
Let's put the evil laugh aside.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I wanted to share this with you because I figured you, of all people, want to hear about this.
Oh, okay.
I had a bizarre dream last night.
Did you?
Yeah. I normally don't share my dreams.
Was I in it?
No, you weren't.
Okay, good.
And you're probably glad you weren't.
Mm-hmm.
It's vaguely movie related.
Vaguely.
Okay. So go with me on this.
Okay.
For some reason, I was involved in a music video. I was the performer in a music video.
Okay.
And it was being directed. Now, I can't remember. You know how dreams are real murky?
Oh,
it
yeah,
was
yeah,
either Wes Anderson or David Gordon Green. One of the two of them. Because they kind of meld together in
okay,
my mind. I like okay, Wes Anderson's films better. I mm-hmm, think it was him, but he looked like David Gordon Green.
But it was really Wes Anderson in disguise.
Yes.
It was like a Mission Impossible thing.
Stop motion David Gordon Green as Wes Anderson. So he was directing this music video, and supposedly they were setting something up, and it was like the production value was really low because it was like in somebody's backyard. And, you know, like dried out grass and everything. And
nice.
They had all these people there.
It sounds like, about like the music video you would make.
They're making fun of them. And so I then had the brilliant idea. I said, I should do this music video with no pants on. So I took off my pants. And just, you know, I have class. I wore underwear.
It's classy.
I have class.
Yeah.
They were tidy whities.
Classy.
So get that image in your head. And I was also wearing a shirt. Now, when you're heavy like me and you've got a belly, shirts don't always go down all the way over your belly.
Right, yeah.
And you have to buy long shirts. But if I don't, they shrink or whatever. They kind of start riding up.
Yeah.
And I was apparently wearing one that was little bit high, so I had that little Shania Twain thing going on.
Oh,
so you've got that in your head.
This is a terrible video.
And the director, David Gordon Green, as Wes Anderson, came to me and was like, you, should you put on pants? Maybe? You know, he's like, for whatever reason, he was tiptoeing around this.
You would think that a big-name director would actually tell you, look, you need to put on some pants.
And I'm like, no, this would be brilliant.
Mm.
That was my dream. Then I was woken up by a phone call. I never found out if we made the video.
Oh.
I never found out if I put on pants.
Maybe you should check your computer later today and see if it's there.
Email from David Gordon Green. Put on pants!
Please,
exclamation
please
point.
Put on pants.
Yes. So That was important to talk about.
It was.
And
thank you so much for that.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Pants.
Yes.
Let's talk about box office. This leads into it, because I have to say, I was very happy when I saw the original estimates for the box office.
Well, no. See, because this is funny.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Because you screwed things up here.
Did I screw it up?
Mm-hmm.
No, I thought, no.
55 was my estimate for last. Yes, it was.
Was it?
And you said, oh, you're going to go so low because, you know, not even with the 3D and da-da-da-da-da. Because you went, oh, no, it's going to be 65.
Did I mess that up?
You did.
Oh, you know what it is? I'm looking back in the notes and I said, I put my initials next to both of them. That's what I do to just make sure I win all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you survived. I was going to do a legitimate dance, but you don't, I guess.
I was actually told by one of our listeners over the weekend that because it was my birthday, I was allowed to do a victory dance.
Yeah.
Just even no matter what. I think I deserve a victory dance, but I'm just going to sit here and smile smugly.
Do a victory dance!
Because I'm too classy for that.
You should do a victory dance.
No. There will be no victory dance.
All right. The Wolverine came
in
number
one. You did.
$53 million. All right. Well, anyways, the Wolverine came in with $53 million instead of $55 million.
Which, actually, on as of Sunday, it was at 55.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which, I was so excited. I was like, 55! But, no.
Well, that's okay. You were closer, I guess, apparently. I got my notes wrong. I don't... Details.
I kind of think sometimes when I get the show notes and you have things like that, I'm like, yeah, he did that on purpose.
Honestly...
He's trying to see that I forgot, but no. I did not forget.
Let me assure you something, Kristen. None of this is purposeful. It's just complete errors on my part. These are real honest errors.
Yeah.
I don't...
I'm pretty sure that you're trying to take advantage of my sleep deprivation as a parent of a small child.
If I was, I'd show up without pants on and tidy whiteys and a bare naked midriff and everything below. But classy.
Yeah, but classy.
The Conjuring came in at $22 million with $84 million total. That's actually really good.
That's pretty impressive.
That's an incredible hold for a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
In the summer or not.
Yeah.
That's a great hold. Despicable Me 2 at $16 million. It's at over $300 million. It's at $307.
Wow.
Going into this week. That's insane. That's really, really good.
It's huge.
That just pretty much goes down to the same ranking as the previous week, except at number 10, Fruitvale Station showed up at $4.6 million with a total of $6.3, which is really good for that movie.
Yeah. We still haven't seen it. Apparently, it's showing here, but nobody told me it was.
The Weinsteins never screen anything for us.
No, not really.
They learned their lesson last year with Bully when that didn't do well.
Yeah, never mind.
Then the to-do list, which you enjoyed, was at $1.6 million at 15.
Yeah. Kind of sad. Nobody saw it.
Nobody saw it.
Not a big surprise, but $1.6 million.
Isn't that about what it cost?
A little low.
It's probably a pretty cheap movie.
It was, yeah.
And then finally, what's interesting is Turbo and Despicable Me 2 only dropped about 35% each, which is a pretty good hold.
It's not bad.
It's better for Despicable Me 2 because it started out with more money.
Right, and that came out even a month ago already.
Yeah.
So.
And then Blue Jasmine made $612,000 in only six theaters, which is really, really good.
Not bad, Woody Allen.
Yeah, you're looking at the same kind of crowd. It might drop off once it expands, because pretty much the farther a Woody Allen movie gets from water, like big cities, it ends up dropping down. All right, let's hit some news real quick. The first one is the latest on The Butler.
The Butler. Speaking of Harvey Weinstein.
Tell us about this.
Well, we talked about this a few weeks ago on the show, that he was having some issues with Warner and the MPAA because he wanted to call the movie The Butler. And there was a movie from what?
1920-something. 29
yeah,
or something
like that.
It was a short film
or,
like that.
Yeah, the early 20s. That it was a short film called The Butler. And Warner Brothers said, you can't use that name.
Yeah.
And the MPAA agreed and said, sorry, you can't use that name.
Yep.
But now they've changed their mind. Yeah. And Harvey can use the name, although he is being fined for the last month.
Of course.
Because he went against the ruling
it
anyway.
This goes back to him picking fights so he can win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for publicity purposes.
It is.
But what's really funny about it is... Originally, Warner said, well, you can call it Lee Daniels, the butler. And he's like, no! No way will not! And he said it exactly like that. I have a video.
He probably did.
But anyways, he then went to that. Now he's claiming victory. This guy's a moron, but he's good at marketing movies. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we are going to be talking about the movies this week. welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Hello.
Let's jump right in. We've got a bunch of things to talk about, so let's talk about a question from a listener. This just comes from Red State Gabe.
Hello, Gabe.
And we're throwing this in at the early segment because once we're done talking about this, I don't think we're going to talk about the Wolverine anymore.
Probably not. No, not so much.
And his question is, when will we see a crossover between X-Men and the Avengers, that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those things that, to me, it seems like it's a no-brainer just because I pay so much attention to the movies.
Right.
And same thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, most people don't notice who releases something necessarily, who directs it. The average mainstream audience doesn't pay attention to that
right.
sort of nuance
mm-hmm.
and or detail. But here's why. When Marvel started making movies, they sold off their properties, and it was just Marvel owned Marvel.
Right.
And they sold off the different superheroes, and they licensed X-Men to Fox.
Mm-hmm.
They licensed the Incredible Hulk to Universal. They mm-hmm. licensed the Avengers characters to Paramount,
mm-hmm.
meaning Iron Man and Thor and Captain America. Now Disney has purchased Marvel, and they have everything, so rights are just all over the place.
Oh, yeah, it's a mess.
It's crazy.
It is a huge mess.
I always found what's amazing, though, about Marvel is even with all these rights quagmires they have. Oh, and Sony has Spider-Man.
Right.
So it's everywhere. Yet, Marvel has been actually able to streamline this stuff as compared to DC, which is all completely wholly owned by Warner Brothers.
Right, yep.
Yet their heads are somewhere that shouldn't be, and they are finally getting their you-know-what together to actually do crossover movies.
Mm-hmm.
Years after Marvel did.
Oh, yeah. Marvel's been doing it forever,
yeah.
and successfully so.
Yeah. They could have done the Justice League movie in, like, 1995.
Oh, yeah.
If they wanted to, because Warner Brothers bought DC somewhere in the 80s, late 80s, something like
okay.
that. It was right around when that first Tim Burton Batman movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, here we go. Fox owns X-Men.
Yes.
And the individual characters. And Disney now runs the Avengers series. And,
mm-hmm.
and it was previously mostly in Paramount's hands.
Right. And this whole thing is interesting from my perspective because
yeah.
I don't come at it from the comic book perspective.
Yeah.
I don't look at it as it's all Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it as, well, you know, this stuff is done by Disney and this stuff is done by Fox. And it never even occurred to me that the X-Men
mm-hmm.
and Avengers might be in the same universe because, to me, they're in different studios.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people yeah. mentioned with Avengers, they're like, was Spider-Man out of town? When aliens attack New York?
Yeah, no.
No, Spider-Man
is over at Sony.
So yeah, he was prepping for his movie that was going to come out 2 months later.
Yes.
So, yeah, in the comic books, there's actually a huge sort of arc between the Hulk. There's a Hulk versus Wolverine bit that goes on.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, and it's because the Hulk is super strong and the Wolverine's invincible.
Right.
And there's also a Hulk versus Thor thing, which we saw a little bit of that with the Avengers because
mm-hmm.
they're kind of in the same wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But that's why, and they're already starting to talk about bringing Spider-Man into Avengers 2.
Well, they already are for yeah. Phineas and Ferb's big adventure that they're doing in a few weeks.
And that's the most important thing, of course.
Of course. I've been looking forward to it for like 2 months.
Yeah.
Phineas and Ferb and the Avengers.
That's amazing.
I know, well, I'm so excited.
And here's the other thing, because not only is it just everything's under different studio umbrellas,
mm-hmm.
it just depends on where they come from, because of course the Spider-Man TV shows have all been killed by Disney, and now they're all being completely done by Disney.
Hmm.
They're bringing them out through Disney. The Avengers, same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they have control over the individual movie. But then you go back, and you can find the old original Spider-Man TV show is released by someone else. So not only do you have the movies you got to worry about, you got the cartoons. And, you know, Lionsgate released some of them. It's all over the map.
You're making my head hurt.
I know.
Seriously.
But somehow, they're making these things happen. And the next thing, what's going to be great is when you have the Spider-Man Star Wars crossover.
It'll happen.
Trust me.
I'm looking forward to the Phineas and Ferb Star Wars special. It'll happen.
That'll be so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Candace will be really upset that there's Jedi training going on in her backyard
nice.
Over the summer. So I hope that answers your question, Red State Gabe. And maybe it'll happen at some time soon. Part of the problem is right now, the Wolverine and the X-Men movies are doing okay.
Yeah.
Maybe if Days of Future Past next summer is a huge hit,
mm-hmm.
and can get to an Avengers level, they'll be like, yeah, let's make this happen. But right now, Disney's like, probably, yeah, we don't care about that. You're not making much money.
Right. That's, you know, the pesky little brother that they don't really care about right now.
Where movies make whatever. $400 million.
Yeah.
What, yours make 55 or 53?
Right. 53.
Wow, I really made Disney sound like a jerk, didn't I? Like some taunting bully on the playground.
We love you, Disney.
Yes. Phineas and Ferb meet Star Wars. Please, make it happen.
Yes, please.
Oh, you're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Let's move on to the next movie.
Let's
the first
talk about
movie.
Some movies, shall
yes,
we?
Yes, yes.
Let's do that, because this one I'm excited to hear about.
The Smurfs 2. Gargamel, now a world-famous magician in Paris, hatches a plan to turn Smurfette evil so he can eventually extract Smurf essence to retain his magic.
I am making my own creations to help me finally capture the Smurfs. I will call them the Naughties.
Where are we?
It worked. Close enough.
Here's my plan. We trick Smurfette into being naughty like us. And she'll have so much fun, she'll never go back.
Oh dear. Catch, please.
Even that doesn't make any sense.
The movie doesn't. And did you see the first one?
Yes, I did, unfortunately.
It's a terrible movie.
It is a horrible, horrible movie.
Yeah. Before I talk about this one, the reason I didn't like the first one is because I was actually okay with the Smurfs being stupid and all the different versions of the Smurfs and the jokes about Smurf being used as this word and that word and Gargamel looking weird and Azrael. I was actually okay with that. It was when they said, no, Smurfs are not good enough. We must move this to New York and bring in Neil Patrick Harris and Jemma Mays.
Yeah, seriously.
For no reason whatsoever.
There were so many things wrong with that movie.
Well, it reminds me, and not that The Muppets was a bad movie, but it's the same irritation I had with The Muppets when it came out a couple years ago. Where I'm like, the Muppets aren't enough to carry a movie. You got to have Jason Segel. You got to have Amy. I love Amy Adams.
Yeah.
But you don't need them in the movie. You have the Muppets. It's about
true.
The Muppets.
Yep.
So that was the first. And then it was a deteriorating thing with the
and
Smurfs.
You got up on a Sunday morning to see this movie. And it was my birthday. So there was no way I was getting up and watching the Smurfs. So that is my excuse for this one.
Yeah. Here's the problem with the screening is the audience was way worse than the movie. The movie actually wasn't bad.
I remember that from the first Smurfs, actually. I was surrounded by that audience.
Yeah. And the thing is, the movie itself was cute enough that they actually kind of played to the original source material with Smurfette being created by Gargamel, and they kind of and I appreciated that as somebody who grew up watching it in the 80s. I'm like, well, at least they're still in the real world, but they kind of were left there. So I was okay with that. And they actually, it was more about the Smurfs than it was about Neil Patrick Harris, who's great.
Well, that's good.
But
yeah, it just didn't fit.
His movies don't do very good.
It's true.
So, but the problem in this movie was the audience. Because you have all the parents coming in, and with 86 kids in tow, and they don't shut up. And it's like you're 20 minutes in, and you're like, seriously, you're still asking about popcorn? And parents, I yelled at this woman twice because she was using her cell phone. And I'm like, seriously.
The parents in these movies are always worse than the kids.
Yeah.
And then terrible.
But then the kids, people bring like babies, like bouncing. I had a five-year-old. I brought my son, and he was fine during the whole thing.
Yeah.
The kid in front of me bouncing around. And the kid was like probably about the age of your daughter. I mean, she was a year-ish.
Yeah.
And then she crapped her pants halfway through the movie, and no one went to go change her. Or one of the adults crapped their pants and didn't change themselves. So not only do you have to sit there, you have to smell baby poop for half the movie.
Nice. And I'm really sorry that I missed out on that. So,
yeah, the movie was it still a kind of sucks, but it's a very soft kind of sucks. The audience totally sucked. They were idiots. I wanted to punch somebody.
There you have it.
Shirt, too smurfy for my shirt, so smurfy it hurts.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Yay.
When we left off, Kevin wanted to punch someone.
I was ranting about babies pooping during movies.
It was terrible. So maybe we'll talk about a different movie now. Something that maybe doesn't make you want to punch someone.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Let's give that a shot.
Let's go with Two Guns.
All right.
Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg stars two undercover agents who are trying to bring down a Mexican drug cartel, but neither is aware that the other is also working undercover.
Oh, my.
How much you figure? $40 million.
$40 million?
But I got bad news for you.
Petty Officer Michael Stigman.
You know Bobby Beans was DEA?
Did you know he was Special Forces?
You've been on this limb way too long. The bank was a setup. We gotta figure out whose money that was.
Well, like we're working together?
No, not like we're working.
Yeah!
No, like we're working in the same vicinity.
Together.
In the same area code.
Together.
Now, this was a hard summary to write. This is one of those things that the next day after the screening, I sat down and was like, okay, I'm going to write up this review, plot summary. I'm like, I don't know what to say about this movie. It's hard to explain.
It's kind of all over the place.
It is. And it's one of those things that you kind of get caught up in it and you don't really think about what's going on because it's just, it's Mark Wahlberg and it's Denzel Washington.
I like that, though, that's the excuse for not paying attention to
it. It is. You know, they're fun. They're great characters. They're great stars. Mm. And they have great chemistry and they're just fun to watch.
Yeah.
And then you realize later, none of this makes any sense.
No, and it doesn't.
No.
It does not make sense.
It is. And the more you think about it, the less sense it makes. Because it just, from the beginning, the whole setup, you're like, hold on, how does that work? And just to the messy conclusion, it's all kind of a mess.
What's funny about the messy conclusion is one of the other critics in town, David Metzger, emailed me later in the night. He said, so, is this what happened at the end of the movie? And I'm like, I think so.
I'm not entirely sure how it all played out.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's fun.
Okay.
It's an August action movie. This is what you expect. You're not going to get anything big and, you know, the huge, big budget action.
No.
It's Mark Wahlberg and it's Denzel Washington. And seriously, you could not find two more charming stars for this movie.
They do have good chemistry.
They do.
I will give them
and that. And fortunately, this is not Flight. And Denzel Washington is doing another one of his Denzel Washington movies that, you know, he's just that smooth-talking, cool guy who does his thing, and then there's a whole bunch of stuff going on around him, and he's cool. And
see, that's my I'm getting so tired of that in a Denzel movie. Mm. He's a good actor. That's the thing, I guess.
It's one of those things. He's
too cool and smooth and everything.
I know, but I just love him for it.
Even in Flight, as awful as that movie was, he was like the coolest, smoothest, drunk, fall-on-your-face guy ever.
It's true, he was.
And everything he did was still really cool and excusable. And I'm like, be vulnerable. That's, I guess, part of it. He's not a very vulnerable actor.
That's true.
And I'm just getting kind of tired of that. Mm-hmm. Whereas Mark Wahlberg can play the fool, great.
Oh, yeah.
He's brilliant at that. He is awesome.
He flies in there as this hot-headed, crazy man, and he's so much fun. But he doesn't do it so far over the top that you're like, oh, come on. He's just funny.
It's Mark Wahlberg being being Mark Wahlberg.
It's like Mark Wahlberg on SNL.
Here's the thing. They both phone their performances in, but they're kind of good at phoning their performances in. I was conflicted on this. Part of it, I just felt it was tedious. It went on a little too long for me.
The end is definitely drawn out.
It feels like a crappy Showtime direct-to-cable movie. That just happens to have a big budget and really huge stars in it.
Okay.
And here's two things I want to point out about Paula Patton's in this as well. And I know you're going to know what one of them is.
Oh, yeah.
You get to see her naked? Awesome. So there's that. Yet somehow, amazingly, her hair is like spirit glued to the outside of her breasts. So you can kind of sort of see things.
Yeah.
The other thing is did you, this is, these are, when I get, this is how I know that I wasn't keeping my attention.
Are you nitpicking?
Well, it's not even nitpicking. It's when a movie doesn't keep my attention, I start looking at, like, set design and stuff, and I start, like, kind of getting into stuff because I'm so bored with what's going on. Did you look at her? There's a scene where they are in her garage at home.
Okay, her garage.
Ostensibly, she's just this woman who lives alone. Has yogurt in her fridge. You know, a nice house, but not too huge. Go in the garage. That is one decked out garage. It has so many tools and stuff on the wall. Because she's like, oh, it's in my garage. And I'm looking, I'm like, this looks like Tim Taylor's garage. It had like a workbench and hoses and like a pegboard. And I'm like, are you sure she's not like, you know, there's like, because she didn't impress me as kind of like that kind of a character.
She has a boyfriend.
Yeah, maybe that was it. I don't know. That's where I focused on. But it felt like, did you see Get the Gringo?
No.
Or you saw The Mexican. Did you see The Mexican?
I did, yes.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, a little bit.
These kind of sort of tongue-in-cheek R-rated action movies that take place in the desert and oftentimes in Mexico.
There you go, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was way better than, like, Savages.
Well, it has that going for it.
There you go. It's better than something Oliver Stone pooped out. So anyways, yeah, I there's parts I appreciated, but then I was just like, I just got bored with it.
Mm-hmm.
If it would have been like a lickety-split 80-minute movie, I probably would have been more on board.
Yeah, it was about 20 minutes too long.
Yeah, so I'm giving it a kind of sucks.
I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
Ooh. Well, there you go.
There you have it.
All right. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Chris and Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. The next movie we're going to talk about is a very small release. It's limited. You can actually get it on video on demand now, like Amazon and iTunes mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. And that is Europa Report. A 20-month trip to Jupiter's moon goes disastrously wrong, and the astronauts on board struggle to survive.
Our craft was heading for a moon of Jupiter, known as Europa.
We are clear of Jupiter's orbit.
Ladies and gentlemen, hold on. Here we go.
Our best hopes of success lies under the ice.
Let's go for a swim. You hear that?
Are you guys seeing this? It's beautiful.
Come back to the ship now.
I want to see if it's reacting to my lights. I'm going to turn them off.
How many times have I seen this movie?
This is, yeah, I was thinking, wow, this could be a companion piece to, you know, like 2001, to Moon, to Solaris, to Sunshine. It made me want to watch Sunshine.
This movie has been made a couple of times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is it's done sort of it's not found footage, but it's done sort of found footage style where they're using cameras that are mounted around the thing.
Yep.
So it's all told in the respect that NASA has finally gotten this feedback to what happened on Europa, which is one of the moons of Jupiter. For those who don't know the science behind it, Europa is an ice-covered moon, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of speculation in the scientific community that under the ice there might be life. There might be liquid uh-huh. water and geothermal power that could actually run.
And that is your science lesson today from Mr. Carr.
Ta-da. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's what it's, and that's them going there, and they've been out there for 20 months, and bad things happen, and things go wrong, and it's told sort of out of sequence.
Okay.
It has Charlton Copley in it.
Nice.
Who's great.
From District 9.
Yes. And the guy, I don't know his name, but the guy who played the original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, played the David, Daniel Craig character.
I don't remember his name.
It's something Swedish, I'm sure.
But he is wonderful.
Nothing, no offense to anybody out there who's Swedish.
Nice.
I'm not minimizing your entire culture or anything. I just don't know any of your names.
Nice. And moving right along.
Kristen's slinking in the corner. She's like,
I'm Dutch, so we have crazy names too. So I understand.
Yes.
The Swedes.
My apologies to our loyal listeners up in Fergus Falls. So anyways, It also, well, the weirdest part about the movie, it has Dan Fogler in it as a NASA scientist. And I'm like, is this...
Really?
Like, yeah. It was like a...
Who cast that?
I don't know, but it was this bizarre sort of like prequel to Mars Needs Moms, I guess. I'm sorry. And I don't mean to pick on Dan Fogler, but he was kind of out of place. But it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting to watch. And it's a very reserved type of film. It's a lot of people talking, a lot of people stuck in a spaceship. But I liked it for what it was.
Okay.
You like you said, you've seen this movie before.
Yep.
Versions of it, bigger budget, smaller budget. I guess it's priming me to go see Gravity.
Well, there you go.
Later this year. Alphonse Cuarón's George Clooney in space movie.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Isn't Sandra Bullock in that, too?
I don't care.
How random is that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
She has weird choices.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I'm going to say Europa Report kind of rocks.
Okay.
And I think it's like an only like 5 theaters this week.
Well, if one of those 5 is near you,
go check it out.
Yeah.
Or you can get it on VOD, Amazon, or iTunes. But aside from that, we're going to now take a break and talk about box office and DVDs in the next segment.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. We have covered a few movies this week.
Yeah, we were trapped in space.
Yes, and trapped in Smurf Village. Actually, it's not in Smurf Village. It's in Paris.
It's pretty much Paris.
Whatever. So we
which is such a cheap thing to do. That's one thing that irritates me about that. It's like after Europeans or Europe's Most Wanted, every movie is now, well, we have to have an international location because we're kowtowing to the international market.
Well, because that's the biggest audience.
I know.
We all know that it's going to be huge
just
overseas.
Just set it in China and get over it because that's the emerging market. China
it's
and
true.
Russia.
Nice.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So shall we cover a little more news before we get into all the regular stuff?
News.
Now, we had an interesting thing that it came up a couple of weeks ago or last week, I think, and we just didn't have time to talk about it.
Yeah.
But we've talked about a lot of stuff that's been popping up on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And the latest thing is Spike Lee's latest movie.
Mm-hmm.
Spike Lee is trying to raise $1.25 million to make his next movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he has come out and said, no, I am not bogarting Kickstarter from the independents.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, sure, but what people have pointed out is, and it does raise an interesting question. After Zach Braff and James Franco, Spike Lee, if you have a net worth like 20 times what you're asking, should you be asking for
and
money?
And that's the thing. $1.25 million, that can't be an awful lot if you're Spike Lee.
No.
Seriously, it's like having a lemonade stand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other problem with it, and I understand as most filmmakers, almost every single film that's ever been made in the professional in studio system, the studios pay for it. They take the risk and they take the great rewards of the money.
Right.
I understand the reluctance of filmmakers funding their own projects because it's a quick way to go broke.
It is.
However, it cannot be that hard for Spike Lee to get $1 million from a studio.
No, I can't imagine.
Yeah. I imagine if Spike Lee asked for $20 million, they might be like, well, you know, your movies don't always do well and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You're known, whatever.
$1 million.
Spike Lee can get a million.
Change. Come on.
Yeah. And either he can fund it or I'm sure he could get a studio to fund it for $1 million.
Yes.
The problem is I wouldn't, you know what I wouldn't have a problem with is if they sort of just pre-sold tickets, if they do a pre-sale for it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about saying, and it goes raises all the, we talked about this with all the, is it an investment? Is
right.
it a charity or whatever? And
how do the
right?
taxes work out in the things like that? Yeah.
And there was a guy I saw, I got a piece of spam. Somebody's trying to raise $1,500 for a Kickstarter. And I don't think it was Kickstarter, but it was something like that.
Okay, yep.
And they'd raised $250,000 and they had like 80,000 supporters. I'm like, what if people go and buy pennies?
Yeah.
I'll pledge a penny.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, this campaign does actually have one big contributor.
Yes.
Steven Soderbergh gave $10,000. And, you know, he posted a big thing on the page about how he believes in Spike Lee and blah, blah, blah. And well, in exchange, he gets to go to a Knicks game, right? A Knicks game?
Sure.
Something like that.
Yeah. Is it the Knicks?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
He gets to go to a basketball game with Spike Lee.
Whatever the one where Spike Lee sits in the front.
Right. So.
Though, you know what? If Soderbergh shows up with a Kickstarter campaign asking for contributions, I'll be like, whoa, now, hold on a second.
Oh, dear.
Because you know he will. At some point, because he's already denounced the studio system.
It'll happen.
I don't think, here's the thing, I don't think independent film's any less accessible now. It's probably more accessible. It's just you don't get the $20 million budget for an independent film.
Right.
Make your film for $1 million, for crying out loud.
And the problem is, there are so many of them now that we don't get to see them. And that's part of my problem. I would love to see more of these films, but, you know, we're not getting screenings.
Nope.
So
there you go. The other Spike Lee interesting story is his movie Old Boy, which is a remake of the Korean film by Chan-wook Park, has been moved from October 25th release date to November 27th because that's the time for family movies.
Right.
If you've seen Old Boy, it's even weirder.
It's not a family movie.
It is. It makes sense. It's not really a horror movie, but it makes sense to release in October.
Yeah, yeah.
It does not make sense to release alongside
Thanksgiving.
You know, whatever. Phineas and Ferb go to Santa Claus's North Pole or whatever. Well, that sounded really dirty. The way I said that,
terrible.
We won't revisit
that. Moving right along.
Let's talk about something else. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Box office predictions. Okay, you're gonna watch me write this down. All
okay,
right?
I am going to watch.
Okay,
because
what are you gonna say? I'll write mine. You want me to go first or you?
Go
first?
Ahead. Go
okay,
ahead.
I'm gonna KMC.
Yeah, I'm watching that. Yeah.
And I'm gonna say $35 million for Two Guns.
Okay. And right. I have Two Guns at $32 million.
KDK.
So
okay.
We are pretty close anyway.
$32 million. See, look.
I see it. It says,
there's a D and a K in
there. Yep.
Two guns. Yep. All right. So, yeah, if it comes in over, I win. If it comes in under, you win.
I guess so.
If it comes in at $33.5 million, we're going to arm wrestle.
If Smurfs takes a box office with $80 million, there will be no show next week.
The reason I don't think the Smurfs is going to win because it opened on Wednesday.
Yeah.
It got front-loaded for that. All right. Let's move on.
Let's
talk about the next segment, which is what we like to call the world-famous...
DVD Roundup.
Yeehaw.
Woo!
The first one I'm going to highlight.
Kind of pathetic,
yeah,
really.
I know. That's the way it is.
Are you running out of steam?
I couldn't do my victory dance.
I'm sad.
The wind was taken out of my sails. Who cares if it was my error?
That's too bad.
Shall we start with the one that you got? You got G.I. Joe.
I did.
Retaliation.
I did. G.I. Joe.
That is out now.
It's one of those movies that it is what it is. That is my favorite review of a movie like this one. It is what it is. It's, you know, Dwayne Johnson running in the desert, and it is one big crazy mess.
Mm.
But it's kind of fun anyway. Mm.
I was following a friend of mine on Twitter, or I follow a guy on Twitter, and he was retweeting. Okay, this is a spoiler alert. If you really don't want G.I. Joe Retaliation's first half hour spoiled for you.
Yeah. It's the first half hour.
Don't watch the trailers.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum dies like 20 minutes
right away.
And to the point that, because he was the star of the last one, and they shot more in there once he became this massive movie star.
Yeah.
And it's kind of this superfluous nothing stuff that could be edited out because it wasn't in the movie in the first place.
It is one of those things that it kind of cracked me up because I sat down to watch it with my husband after we got it.
Yeah.
And he hadn't seen it. And I said, yeah, it still cracks me up that Channing Tatum is listed so high there as the star of this movie because... Well, you'll see in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, and he definitively dies. It's
It's not
you don't like see his head come off or anything, but it's
it was
not
one of those things.
Away.
The first time I saw it, I was like, they're going to find a way to bring him back, right? Because he's Channing Tatum.
A friend of mine on Twitter was retweeting. He found all these people who were watching it, and they're like, what? He dies 20 minutes in? And like all these girls who had followed him, they're like, Channing Tatum dies 20 minutes in? What?
Yeah. So much for going to the movies to see Channing Tatum.
Well, and the worst part is it's not like it was hidden in the trailers. They still show you in the trailer that that's what happens.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, he goes in this hole and they go, everyone's dead. He's not in the trailer at all for the rest of the movie. He's pretty clear.
There you go.
So it's amazing that people
dead.
Are like, oh, just the reaction of some people are like, Channing Tatum, must get watched. No, he dies. Sad clown eyes.
Nice.
All right. The one that I kind of want to highlight, Star Trek The Next Generation Season 4 is on Blu-ray. And this is the reason these are worth getting if you're a Star Trek fan. And I talked about this when Season 3 came on Blu-ray
because
they're ridiculously expensive. They're like $70 a piece for the series.
That's
for
crazy.
For the season.
That's crazy talk.
That's a lot.
Seriously.
And they haven't come down all that much from... You know, like maybe in 6 months they go down, but like the preview, like season one and season two, they're still like at 50.
Wow.
For like secondary market.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The reason these are good is because they remaster them and they look much, much better. Hmm. What you see on Netflix and Amazon, they're very murky. It looks like it's struck from an old not VHS, but even just a Betacam tape.
Uh-huh, yep.
And they've remastered them. They look crisp. The special effects have sometimes been updated, not changed. I mean, they're not doing... Star Wars special edition, where it's very, very strikingly different.
Uh-huh.
It still fits. It's like the original series put on Blu-ray. These look great. The other thing they do is they always, because starting the third season, they'd have these huge cliffhangers at the end of the season.
Uh-huh.
They'll release the season, and then they also release a standalone Blu-ray of the two part. So you get the season finale and the season premiere of the next.
Nice.
So
that's cool.
Yeah. So if you get to the end of the season four and you're like, what? What's going to happen with Worf? Where's he going? Is he coming back? You can go get the Blu-ray. You have to pay for it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get Redemption, which is the two-part episode that has the season premiere from season five.
Nice.
Which is kind of a smart idea.
It is really smart.
They started it with the last one because that's the one, season three was the one that ended with the Borg episode.
Mm-hmm.
Where Picard was picked up by the Borg and you didn't have to wait all...
What?
Like 2 months until the next season comes out. The other ones I want to highlight, The Fog, John Carpenter's The Fog's on Blu-ray. We only got about 30 seconds here. Justice League, The Flashpoint Paradox is out. Black Rock and On the Road with Kristen Stewart. The Jack Kerouac film that took forever to get made and then kind of fizzled and burped.
Yeah.
The Singer of the Week is Touched by the Angel Season 8, because it's Touched by an Angel.
And there you have it.
It's a terrible show. Anyways, review wrap-up. Two Guns, you said that kind of rocked.
Yep.
I said it kind of sucked. The Smurfs 2 kind of sucks. Audience, it totally sucks. Europa Report kind of rocks.
All right.
And we'll talk to you next week talking Elysium, Percy Jackson, Planes, and We're the Millers.
See ya.